Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Thank you, Pastor Joel. You are a good man. I love you and I love your family. Well, family, welcome to the moment as we get to dive into God's Word. I do hope you are participating in the 30 days through the Book of James challenge. Now, if you haven't yet started, it's never too late. All you have to do is read through the Book of James in one sitting for the next 30 days. I can guarantee you, your life will be changed by the power of God's Word. And today, I'm wrapping up the series, Faith on Display. Wow, what an amazing journey. Now, if you miss any of the messages, you can find them on our website and you will be blessed as well. Shall we pray just before I dive into God's Word? Now, Father, I thank you so much for this moment. I thank you so much for your Word. Your Word is alive. Your Word is active. The Word is able to change people's lives, especially those who do the Word. And that's my prayer for every person that is a part of this service. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name I do pray. And every person said a big amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we have journeyed through the book of James. And James was the half-brother of Jesus, who was writing to believers who were scattered across the Roman Empire. They're going through different kinds of trials. And so James writes to them to encourage them to practically live out their faith. In other words, to put their faith on display. He tells them to display their faith by persevering through trials, by resisting temptations, by becoming doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. He tells them to display their faith by living holy lives, by being impartial as they practice love towards people, by caring for the vulnerable. And then last week we saw that we display our faith when we pray in faith to God, when we are sick or are facing any difficult situation. And I believe that these are practical issues of faith today. And we today need to be people who are displaying our faith practically so the world can look at us and get to know that we serve a living God. Now today, I'm going to talk about another aspect of displaying our faith, and that is taming the tongue. You see, we display that our faith is genuine. We display that our faith is living when we speak life-giving words. And chapter 3 is dedicated to taming the tongue. And so would you open your Bibles and let's read together. James chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first 12 verses from the NIV. Verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take sheep as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a soul spring produce fresh water. Wow, what an amazing scripture. You see, researchers have said that human beings on average speak about 18,000 to 25,000 words. And men on average speak about 25,000 words. Women speak about 30,000 words. And they say that when a man comes back home, he has already exhausted the 25,000 words and his wife has not even used one word. Imagine what happens after that. It is also said that we spend a fifth of our lives speaking. Wow! What an amazing statistic here. You see, when we were raising our little children, sometimes they would get sick and we'd take them to the hospital to see a pediatrician. And one of the checks that these peds did was to open their mouths and look at their tongue. And by looking at the tongue, the doctors were able to tell the status of the body. In chapter 3, James tells Christians to display living faith, true faith, genuine faith through their speech, through the words that they speak. In fact, this matter is so important to James that he talks about it in each of the 5 chapters in this short epistle of James. You know why? Because our words reveal the status of our heart. You see, like a nurse puts a thermometer under a tongue to check the body temperature. In the same way, you see, our words are, you know, like a spiritual thermometer of our lives. Jesus too addressed the issue of the tongue when he said that out of the abundance of our hearts, the mouth speaks. So James is saying that our faith is on display through the words that we speak. So why should we tame our tongue? The first reason that James gives to us is this. We should tame the tongue because the tongue has power to condemn us. And James includes himself in this point that I'm going to be teaching on right now. Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we, including himself, including me right now, we who teach will be judged more strictly." You see, James is warning believers that they should not rush into the ministry of becoming teachers because we have the greatest potential to sin with our tongue. And when we sin with our tongue, his word is telling us that God is going to judge us harshly. Wow! I wish somebody took me aside when I was a young person and taught me this principle that every word that I speak is going to be judged by God. You see, there are many wannabe teachers, preachers today, masquerading all over as teachers, and their motives are wrong. They've been motivated into coming into the teaching ministry because of the prestige, the honor. And you know what, friends? If you are one of them, God's word is saying you are going to be judged more strictly. You see, friends, Jesus also addressed this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 to 37. He says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, note this. James is not saying that people should not teach. He's simply saying that when you want to become a teacher of God's word, take it seriously. It's not a popularity contest. It's not about how much money you can make because of building a church. It is about the lives of the people who are going to listen to you, because every day you are going to influence them to make decisions that affect their lives and eternity. You see, friends, when I sin with my tongue on this pulpit, I'm influencing hundreds of thousands of people. Therefore, I must be careful. The Apostle Paul also advises young Timothy when he was pastoring one of the churches in Asia Minor in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says this, "Do your best to present yourself to God," not to man, "to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Paul was telling Timothy, you need to be approved by God. And the ministry of teaching is from God. And it must be done because you fear God. You want to honor God. It's not for man. So Paul is saying that we must diligently handle the word of truth. Because when we sin with our tongue as teachers of the word, we have potential to lead many people astray. So we must tame our tongue, especially with the teachers and the preachers of God's word, because God is going to judge us harshly if we use our words carelessly. The second reason that James gives to us here is that we need to tame our tongue because the tongue has power to condemn other people. The tongue has power to kill people. Verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. In here, he's saying that an untamed tongue has the power to condemn others. Untamed tongues have broken relationships, broken friendships, broken marriages, broken families, broken nations. Untamed tongues have taken nations to war. That is the power of the words that we speak. They can condemn others. They can kill people. But on the other hand, a tamed tongue has the power to heal. It has the power to encourage. It has the power to build up others. It has the power to bring forgiveness, peace, and love in any relationship. So James is saying we need to tame our tongue because our tamed tongue displays that we are having living faith, but also it's going to build other people up. Someone said that no wonder God put your tongue in a cage behind your teeth, walled by your mouth. Don't you love that? You see, I remember when I was going to school many, many years ago, the names of the teachers who spoke life into me. When I was going through some difficulties, they believed in me and spoke life-giving words. I also remember some of them who spoke negatively, words that influenced me. But I'm so glad that I have a mind of Christ right now. God's word has changed my life. So, teachers, your words matter. Your words matter. In fact, you spend more time with our children than parents do. So teachers, wherever you are, school teachers, speak life. Speak encouragement. Lift up those children that have been entrusted to you by God to train them up to become godly men and godly women. Speak life. Now I want to speak to you as parents. You are the life teacher of your children. You see, your words matter. And being a pastor here at Watoto, we talk to many young people who come and they are hurting because of the words they have received from their parents, negative words. So parents, speak life. Encourage the youngsters. Yes, well, I have children. They mess up. But every time I'm about to say something wrong, I remember my words carry a lot of power. I need to use my words wisely. You see, friends, when we tame our tongue, we display that we have living faith, and a tamed tongue is also a sign of spiritual maturity. So friends, be kind. Speak words that are affirming. You know, be an encourager. Speak the truth in love. That is so important. Now for all of you who like tweeting, don't tweet negativity. Tweet hope. Let me tell you, the world is looking for hope, and everywhere they go, they're finding negative news. Come on, use your social media platforms to speak life. Be a merchant of hope by speaking life-giving words. Now, reason number three why we must tame our tongue is this. The tongue has the power to control our lives. The tongue has the power to control our lives. In verse 2, James says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a sheep as an example. Although they are so large, they are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants the sheep to go. So in these verses, you see, James is saying that if you want to control your life, if you want to determine the destiny of your life, tame your tongue. Because an untamed tongue has the power to control you and lead you into trouble. So James is saying, focus on the tongue if you want to live a perfect life. Now, we know that there's only one who ever lived that is perfect. That is Jesus. But all of us must work towards that goal of perfection. Yes, we'll never be perfect, but we must make sure that our tongues are tamed in order to control our very lives. Now, James, in these verses, he uses two beautiful illustrations that I love. He uses an illustration of a horse, and he's saying that by placing a piece of metal, it's called a bit, in the mouth of a horse, that horse is tamed. It is able. You are able to turn that horse wherever you go. You know, many years ago, I also sat on a horse, and I turned this rope. I don't know if they're called ropes, but the horse obeyed me. Now, let me tell you this. Without a bit, without that piece of metal in the mouth of a horse, that horse is wild, it is dangerous, it is good for nothing. In the same way, he talks about a ship, these massive, massive, massive vessels that carry thousands of people, they are steered by a small instrument called a rudder. By applying just a little effort on the rudder, you control this massive vessel, a ship. Now, many years ago, I had the opportunity of traveling on the Watoto Children's Choir to Canada, and we were crossing from one island to the next on a big ferry with hundreds of thousands of people. Hundreds of people and cargo. And now the captain invited us as a choir to go to the bridge, and then he gave us an opportunity, one by one, to steer the ship. Man, I remember being at that wheel, turning that ship wherever I wanted it to go. It was so massive, but I did it effortlessly. You know why it was effortless? Because power was being applied to a precise tool called the rudder. And by controlling the rudder, I was able to control the ship. James is saying, in the same way, if you are going to control your life, focus on the tongue. Tame your tongue and you have your life in order. Leave your tongue untamed and your life is a disaster, not for you, but also for the people around you. You see, when we tame our tongue, we display living faith or true faith. Now, in the next couple of verses, James turns his attention on how we can tame the tongue. Verse 7, he says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now here James begins by giving us bad news. He's saying, yes, I know you want to control and tame that tongue, but it's impossible to do it in your own strength. Now James isn't saying that the tongue cannot be tamed. He's simply saying that you cannot do it in your own strength. You need somebody who's stronger than you to empower you to tame the tongue. And then he goes on, verse 9, with the tongue we praise the Lord and the Father. With it we curse human beings who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Now James is using an illustration of a spring and a tree to help us diagnose the root problem of our tongues. You see, in saying, when you look at the fruit, you can tell the quality of the source. If you drink fresh water, you know it was from a fresh water source. When you eat a delicious orange, you know it came from an orange tree, not a mango tree. And he's saying that when we taste the fruit of our lips, yes, our words, when we look at the quality of our words, we can tell the quality of our source, and the source being our hearts. So to control or tame our tongue, we must focus on our hearts. In Luke 6, 44 to 45, Jesus says, for every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the treasure, evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his mouth, of his heart, sorry, the mouth speaks. You see, the tongue is simply a tool of the heart. The tongue simply says what the heart is full of. So if you want to tame your tongue, if you want to speak life-giving words, focus on what you place in your heart. Because tongue problems are actually heart problems. So, how do we tame our tongues? Thank you for asking. Number one, submit your heart to God. Give the controls of your heart to your Maker, your Creator, who has a good plan for your life. In James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, he says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you devil-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. The first step that we take to tame our tongues is by submitting ourselves to God. Give the controls, yes, of your heart to your Maker God, because he understands you and he can empower you to tame your tongue, and then your living faith will be on display. The second thing that we must do to tame our tongue is this. Guard your heart. Simply said, protect your heart. Proverbs 4, 23, 24 says this. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your heart, of your life, sorry. So we protect our hearts two ways. We must have a door that keeps some things out and then that allows some things in. We reject ungodly advice and we allow godly advice through his word into our hearts. So we must open our hearts to God's word, but also close our hearts to ungodly advice. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 2 says this, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. You see, friends, ungodly advice is all around us. Through TV, social media, the unreality shows that you watch, they are formatting your software, your heart, to thinking in an ungodly way, and that is going to determine what you say through your mouth. So guard your heart. Stop ungodly stuff from entering, but also meditate on God's word, because God's word is God's will for your life. You know, reject everything that does not line up with God's word. And when you do that, your heart is going to be filled with good and your mouth is going to speak life. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Hiding the word in the heart enables us to have good in our hearts so we can speak good words. And when we are people who speak life-giving words, we display that we have genuine, we have true, we have living faith in our lives. And this is why we are doing the challenge, the 30 days through the book of James. Read the word of God until the word begins to read you. Or get into the word until the word gets into you. It will change your life and it will change your tongue. So what have I said? We tame our tongue because it has the power to condemn us and condemn others. It has the power to control your life and your destiny. But also we tame our tongue because it displays that we have living faith, which is a sign of spiritual maturity. And we can only tame our tongue when we submit our hearts to God, who's the one who created you and I. And so lastly, I want to invite you to surrender your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. If you know that you have not made that decision, You have not received God's forgiveness, and you know it in your heart. I don't have to convince you, you know it. Today, I want to pray for you. Now, this prayer does not save you, but it verbalizes what is happening in your heart. If you want to pray this prayer with me so that you can surrender your heart to God to receive forgiveness, become a child of God, and then God is going to empower you to tame your tongue, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive your forgiveness into my life. I confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God who died for my sins and who loves me. And on this day, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, you have become a child of God. Welcome to God's family and congratulations to you. Now, do let us know who you are because we want to get in touch with you and send you some material to help you on this beautiful journey. Write to us, connect@watotochurch.com.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.